I am aware that it's going to be a black screen. Okay, sorry, my recording software was like, it's going to be a black screen. Like, yes, I know. Okay, so we are recording. My name is Camden Bailey. I am the interviewer. I am here with Claudia Wall, who I am interviewing. The date is October 10th, 2020. The time is 5:24 p.m. Eastern Time. We are located in Eastern Cincinnati, Ohio. Claudia, I want to briefly review the informed consent and deed of gift document that you sign. This interview is for the COVID-19 Oral History Project, which is associated with the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive. That's the name of where we're putting all this archival stuff. The COVID-19 Oral History Project is a rapid response oral history focusing on archiving the living experiences of the COVID-19 epidemic. We have designed this project so that professional researchers and the broader public can create and upload their oral histories to our open access and open source database. The study will help us collect narratives and understandings about COVID-19, as well as help us better understand the impacts of the pandemic over time. The recordings, demographic information, and verbatim transcripts will be deposited into the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive, and the Indiana University Library System for the use of researchers and the general public. Do you have any questions about this project or interview or anything about it that I can answer? Okay. Just a little more about the consent stuff. Taking part in the study is voluntary. You may choose not to take part, or you may leave at any time. Leaving a study will not result in penalty or loss of benefits to which you're entitled, which unfortunately is none. I'm not getting paid for it either. In fact, I'm paying to do this through my college tuition. Hello, Roxy. Your decision whether or not to participate in the study will not affect your current or future relations with Indiana University, IUPUI, or the IUPUI Arts and Humanities Institute, or the University of Cincinnati, through which we are running this project. Participating in this project means that your interviews will be recorded in a digital video and/or audio format and may be transcribed. The recordings and possible transcriptions of my interview, copies of any supplementary documents or additional photos that you wish to share, and the informed consent and deed of gift, which was that form we signed, may de be deposited into the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 archive, and the Indiana University Library System, and will be available to both researchers and the general public. Your name and other means of identification will not be confidential. Do you have any questions? Okay. In addition to your signed document, would you please offer a verbal confirmation that you understand and agree to these terms? I am asking that you verbally confirm that you agreed to that your interview will be made available under the following license: the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Material Sharealike 4.0 International CC BY-NC SA 4.0 to the COVID-19 Oral History Project, the Journal of the Plague Year, a COVID-19 Archive, and the trustees of Indiana University, acting through its agents, employees, or representatives, has an unlimited right to reproduce, use, exhibit, display, perform, broadcast, create derivative works from, and distribute the oral history materials in any manner or media now existing or hereafter developed in perpetuity throughout the world. I agree that the oral history materials may be used by the voices from the waterways and IU, including its assigns and transferees for any purpose, including but not limited to marketing, advertising, publicity, or other promotional purposes. I agree that IU will have final editorial authority over the use of the oral history materials, and I waive my right to inspect or approve any future use of the oral history materials. Moreover, I agree that the public has the right to use the material under the terms of fair use, U.S. Copyright Law, Section 107. And the U.S. Copyright Law, U.S. Copyright Act. Finally, I want to ask for the verbal confirmation that you have agreed that your interviewee will be made available to the public immediately. Okay, I know that was a lot, and that was Such a pain in the butt to read the first time I did this. Okay, so now we're into the actual interview. So this is some background questions. What is the date and time?
Today is October 10th, 2020, and the time is 5:29 p.m.
All right. What is your name and what are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis? For example, your job or just things you do for leisure, stuff like that.
Okay, my name is Claudia Wall. I work for a home health care company, and I'm a grandmother and a wife, family person. At work, I follow all the guidelines of the COVID guidelines. And at home, when I'm with family, I try to go along with all the COVID, procedures for safety.
Okay. We'll get more into that later, too. So where do you live and what is it like to live there?
Now, can you repeat that?
Where do you live and what is it like to live there?
Community, and it's for 55 and older adults, and we love it.
Okay. When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it? How have your thoughts changed since then?
Well, at first, I think like everybody was in kind of disbelief as what was going on, and then as times went on, and you hear the news and the numbers, and we know it's very serious, and I do my part to make sure that, I'm helping keeping it under control.
Okay. What issues have most concerned you about the COVID-19 pandemic?
What can happen to you, and especially with us being, senior citizens, and we're most, susceptible. That's what they were saying, at least in the beginning. Now I guess anybody can get it, but just worrying about our health.
Okay, so the next section of questions has to do with employment. Has COVID-19 affected your job? And if it has, in what ways?
Yes, it has, as far as the care that we give and our routine procedure. And we've been mainly working under, lockdowns. Outside people must come in. So the people that I take care of, usually the only people they see are the workers. Because family members aren't allowed into the facilities, they keep the spread of the COVID-19 down. Mm-hmm. So our role has changed as far as companionship for the people that we care of.
Has COVID-19 changed your employment status, and in what ways?
No, just probably working more.
Yeah, because you work in like a retirement community, right? Or is it a retirement home?
It is an independent living retirement community.
Okay. What concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment and the economy more broadly?
Now what? I didn't quite understand.
So the first part of the question is, what concerns do you have about the effects of coronavirus on your employment?
Okay. My job is pretty secure. I don't have any worries about being laid off because the need is even more so right now.
And what concerns do you have about coronavirus on the economy more broadly?
The people losing their job and seeing small businesses, go out of business. And, a lot of people have been affected by it. I worry about that.
Has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the employment of people you know?
Most of the people I know are still working, but there is several people that I do know that have been laid off due to the virus.
Like me.
Yeah, like you. I was going to say you're one of them that I know.
Yeah.
For the most part, people that know their jobs are considered essential, so they are still working. Now, my daughter and my son are both working from home,
mm-hmm.
so they are able to continue to work, but most of their work is done from home. 99% of their work is, being done at home.
Yeah. Okay, so the next few questions are going to deal with family and household.
Okay.
So how has COVID-19 affected you and or your family's day-to-day activities?
Well, we kind of changed our routine. For example, Tim, I don't know that that's my husband. I don't know if I should be I know you know who it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing the grocery shopping and goes early in the morning. Mm-hmm. So you're not around many people. And we don't go out. If we go anywhere, I do take my dog for a walk in the park. It's a big park where we can be, we're not around a lot of people. We don't do any activities that are, where there's a lot of gathering.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How are you managing day-to-day activities in your household?
About the same, but since I don't have any small children and I'm living in a retirement community, as far as our, everyday routine is pretty much still the same.
Okay. Has the COVID-19 outbreak affected how you associate and communicate with friends and family?
Well, since we're living in a world of texting, we all still text and,
right.
We're not having any family get-togethers or going out to dinner. You, for example, how we would like to get together from time to time and go out to eat. We don't get to do any of that right now. So, as far as being able to get to see each other, we're not able to do that, but we are able to communicate by phone.
I know you used to go over to Michelle, your daughter Michelle's house, and watch your granddaughter Summer. Are you not doing that anymore just because Michelle's working from home now, or?
Right. Well, okay. And plus she's got older, and, my granddaughter's older now, so the need's not there. But another reason is because my daughter is working from home, yes, she has an office set up there now, so the need's not there as it was before.
Okay. What have been the biggest challenges you have faced during the coronavirus outbreak?
With me working with the elderly, even though it's independent living, mm-hmm. I deal with a lot of mild dementia cases that they stay with us until they have to move on to a nursing home, mm-hmm. and they do not comprehend what is really going on, a lot of them. That they don't understand the need for the mask and the social distancing and, that. And so, I don't want to make them sound like a child, but it's almost, like when you're telling them, a small child, no, you can't do that. That's going to hurt mm-hmm. you. Trying to make some of them that are getting in bad shape understand that they can't, get right in somebody's face and talk to them because they're hard of hearing. So they're mm-hmm. ones that is, I'm doing more with that at work than I am at home. We all understand what's going on.
Yeah. So you would say they're not handling the sudden change very well just because they have a harder time comprehending.
Right. Okay. Being with the dementia and being elderly, and I take care of people. The average age of people that I take care of, well, I'd say my youngest client is 68, mm-hmm. and they go all the way up to 101. And now this is independent living that I'm taking mm-hmm. care of. And I'd say the majority of them are 90 plus years old. And so, a lot of them, they feel like that they're aged, they're not going to worry about it. And then, like I said, the others with, mild dementia or just being forgetful, mm-hmm. I've explained to them over and over again why they get upset, why their families can't come in to see them. And so, they do. It has been very hard on them. There's some of them that fully understand what's going on, and those are much easier to deal with, but the ones that just don't understand, it's really hard for them.
Right. So what have you, your family, and friends done for recreation during COVID-19? This can include, you know, if you guys are watching TV, or like you said earlier, going to the park and walking the dog, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd say my thing would be walking the dog. My husband's thing would be more watching TV. Of course, now with no new shows on, you know, that's kind of burnout.
Yeah.
I think everybody's yard probably looks prettier than it's ever looked in a lot of years. You know, you see a lot of people have really, you know, put time into working in their yard and stuff, and which that's great. You know, everybody's yard looks very nice.
Mm-hmm.
But and as far as my family, I think, you know, it's about the same thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
On their computers. I know Summer, which is my granddaughter. She's got into making very crafty, which that runs in my family, my niece, me and you. We call her, you know, she's a little you with how crafty she is. But she's been making the little, where you take the strings and you make bracelets and all that kind of stuff. She's been mad. She's completely painted her room, you know. So she's been doing things like that, crafty things. And I think, you know, just that, you know, people just, whatever hobby they can have that doesn't, you know, where you're not involved in a group gathering.
So.
And reading, I love to read now. I can, that's always, I like that regard.
So the next few questions are about community. So the first one is, how has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community? This community can be where you live. Like, I know you said you live in, like, a retirement community, your church, your job, blah, 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 whatever you define it as.
Here in the retirement community I live in, we're all pretty good, which I don't know if it's so much to do with COVID, but we all kind of, you know, you've seen where I live, so we can all kind of stand our yard and talk to each other and still have our distance, you know. Hi, how are you doing today? Everything okay with you? And just kind of checking on each other, make sure everybody's doing okay. And as far as work goes, we all have, of course, have our mask on at all times. And we stand everywhere where I work, there's, you know, spots that, you know, to kind of like remind you of how far you should stand apart. That's to help the elderly. So we all kind of do that when we're talking amongst it. And then now we're in the office. Our boss has put up the plexiglass in front of all the office girls' desks so that we can come in there and talk to them and, you know, be it without having to shout clear across the room. So they have a big thing over them. And our boss is also, we wear the mask and our gloves and have hand sanitizer on us at all times. But if we have a situation where someone is feeling ill, we do have the shield with the special mask. The mask that's the, not just the mask.
It's like the band that goes around your head and has like the plastic.
Yeah, it's got that name to it.
Yeah, I think it's just called a face shield. So.
Well, it has a face shield, but then you have the mask underneath it, and plus we have the protective gown if we have someone that is ill, and to make sure that, you know, we're not being, you know, to protect us. So.
Alrighty, so, pretty sure you've pretty much already answered this one. But how are people around you responding to the coronavirus pandemic?
What, that, like, the people that I take care of?
I mean, it's just however you want to define it. If you just want to talk about your neighbors, or if you want to talk about people at work, or family. I mean, it's honestly up to your interpretation.
Yeah. Well, again, I think, like you said, I'm pretty well, you know, answered the neighbors doing a lot of, we're all doing a lot of work in our yard, you know, tinkering around in our yard, and then family, you know, we don't have the get-togethers with each other. We don't even, we, our family always gets together at Christmas time, and so that's still up in the air. You know, what are we going to do about that? You know, you know, just reading and watching TV and the computer and your phone and stuff. Oh, and that's one thing I will. That's one thing I want to mention is that at work, the ones that you know are, because we have a lot of people that have very sound minds, so their minds are very sharp, and I noticed when all this started, a few weeks after it started, all of a sudden you started seeing these little, they look like cloths in everybody's rooms, but they're, they can do FaceTime on these. A digital cloth, the families were bringing them in, but then the family can FaceTime them on it, and it's real, something like a tablet, Riff, but I'm not, you know, quite sure what they're called. And then a few people, the family members, they get them the tablets, iPads, whatever.
Right.
And so they can visit with them like that.
I think, because I know Siobhan was looking at one of those for us. I think it's like a Google Nest Home or something. We have the little, you know, like the Alexa or whatever. Like you can go like, "Hey Alexa, do whatever," right? We have the Google version of it. So you go like, "Hello Google." I'm not gonna say "Hey" because she'll awaken. They have, like, they make, like, screen versions of those. I didn't know you can FaceTime and stuff on that. That's cool.
Yeah, whatever these are. Yeah, I'd say there's about somewhere 10 to 15 of my residents. Maybe someone told somebody. Maybe they put out some kind of newsletter. Now I'm not privy to where they all got the information. And another thing, of my one building, they all, I have three different buildings I work in on the property there. Mm-hmm. And the building I work in, which is my primary building, they assigned each of us, you know, a special building to try to keep it where we weren't all, you know, going back and forth. And everybody's included as much as possible. But mine, everybody has patio doors. So they were allowing family members, once the weather started getting nicer, they could bring a couple lawn chairs and sit at the people's patio doors, like 6 feet back, where the people could sit inside their room at their door and open up the, you know, the main, the storm door, so, or whatever you call it, and visit with each other.
Well, that's nice.
And they all did that. Yes, that was very nice.
So have you seen any people around you change their opinions or, relationships or even their day-to-day activities in response to the pandemic?
Oh, absolutely. Opinions. I think when this all first started, I think people, it was much easier. And I'm not talking about just the elderly. I'm talking about people were more, you know, the very beginning, people were kind of doubtful and thought, oh, this is just going to blow over in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then as it went on, people started taking it serious and, you know, were doing what they were supposed to do. But now the more summer had went on, I've seen people say, you know, they're done with it. They're over it. That's the famous saying, right here. I'm over it. I don't want to hear about it. And, you know, and of course, now we see what happened. Now all of our numbers are going back up.
Right.
Counties are in that we're going, getting better. But yes, I definitely have seen opinions go back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. And I think they said, now I don't know anything personally, but there's been a lot more. They said the rise on domestic violence and then child neglect and everything. You know, I've heard that, but I don't know of anything personally.
So self-isolation and flattening the curve are two ideas that have emerged during the pandemic. How have you, family, friends, and your community have responded to requests to self-isolate and flatten the curve?
Well, like I said, I think it went back and forth in the beginning. People didn't pay attention. People got serious, but now I don't think they're doing how they should. I think people are starting to loosen up.
Has coronavirus changed your relationship with family, friends, and your community?
Not me personally, no. I think, you know, I think with my work, because we're always, you know, more cautious with working with the elderly of anything that's going around. So we're always taking precautions. And then with family, we're also sadly busy with our own personal lives. We all know we're all just a phone call away. But like I said, we are don't get to get together to go out and have lunch and things like that.
Okay, so this next section is a question about health, obviously, because I know you work in the healthcare field, like, and I know you know this, most likely. Don't feel like you have to go into detail about stuff that can get you in trouble because of HIPAA laws.
So, obviously,
just answer what you feel is appropriate. If you don't want to, that's fine. We can skip it.
I'm aware of what I'm allowed to, you know, speak about and not speak about.
Right, I figured, because you're smart. So, you've been around the block a time or two.
A time or two, anyway.
So, the first question is, have you or anybody you know gotten sick during the coronavirus outbreak?
With COVID-19?
It doesn't specify.
Okay. Well, we've had, of all the people that we've had, that we have there on our property, and I'd say between the three buildings, there's rough guessing around 500 plus people that live there, and we've known of three cases because they do have recorded, and the one lady was already with family members, and they did not bring her back, and then the other two that tested positive, but they were asymptomatic, and they had to be quarantined for, you know, I think they usually say 14 days. They made them do a month. But then they were okay. They never, I haven't dealt with anybody that has become sick, you know, like what you're hearing on the news and stuff.
Okay, well, that's good. In what ways do you think coronavirus is affecting people's mental and or physical health?
Oh, I think it has taken a big effect on their mental health, the ones that are mildly confused, and then the ones that, even if they're not confused, that they depended on family for companionship and stuff. I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, I don't want to say in deep depression, but, you know, just down in the dumps that they haven't been able to go to the birthday parties and, you know, the get-togethers and stuff that they look forward to.
Right, yeah, I know, because, yeah, it's really interesting, because this was the main reason why I wanted to interview you, is because I know you have the different perspective, because you work in a retirement community and live in a retirement community, about how this is affecting older folks. Versus like Siobhan and I, all of our friends are 30 and younger, you
right,
know,
right.
So, okay. Hi, Tim. So the next set of questions is just on information. So what have been your primary sources of news during the pandemic?
The TV, and then of course my phone gets all those updates that, you know, I have one of the newer phones, so any updates, I get that. And then of course at work, we have our newsletters of anything that's going around there on the property. If, like I said, we had the three cases, that was immediate, you know, and in fact, our boss texted us to tell us, you know, when we're not even given the names of the people unless we were personally involved with their care. You know, then we were told.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
Okay, so the next question is, what do you think are important issues that the media, so like the TV news, may or may not be covering?
Well, you don't want to know my opinion about the media, because I think they blow everything up and make it worse sometimes. I think we need to be informed, but I think that the media should not give give their personal opinion. They should give the facts instead of their personal opinion.
No, that's a valid way to look at it. So the next set of questions is about government. You're welcome. Like I said, just answer however you want. You can be as political as you want. There's no right or wrong answers. So the first question is, how do you think, how have municipal leaders and government officials in your community responded to the outbreak?
Well, I think Governor DeWine has done a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's just reporting and giving the facts. And that's what I'm here is the facts, not personal opinions. Mm-hmm. I want people, you know. And so I think that for the state of Ohio, you know, we've been lucky with that.
Right.
And my boss, with my boss being an RN, she's able to give facts, you know, without your opinion. She can actually, you know, give facts. So that helps.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on how local, state, or federal leaders are responding to the crisis differently?
Well, yeah, you're getting into it. Everybody wants to beat everybody up.
Like I said, you can answer this however you feel is best, or if you don't want to, that's fine. We can skip it.
Well, I'll just go right back to what I was saying. I don't like seeing it become a three-ring circus where everybody's just, you know, throwing stones at each other. I'd rather work together, no matter what they're, you know, Democrat, Republican, whatever they may be. I want them to work together for the good of the country, and I don't see that going on.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're on the last section of questions. There's only five left. But these ones are about the future. Well, you've pretty much answered that one, so I'm not going to have you answer that one again.
Okay.
So how does this pandemic compare to other big events that have happened in your lifetime?
Well, I'd say this is probably, you know, one of the worst things that's happened to us as far as, you know, things like getting back to normal. You know, when I was growing up as a child, when they had things going around like chicken pox and stuff like that, they encouraged you to get it and just get it over and done with. And now we're, you know, running in fear from the COVID-19 because it's very unknowing. None of us really know. There's even the experts don't know.
Like, think about, like, so the way Siobhan and I, like, interpreted, like, big events was think of stuff like 9/11 or, like, you know, when MLK was assassinated, stuff like that, that, like, were big events that happened since you've been alive that, like, you can remember. Like, how do you think this compares to that?
Well, this actually shut our country down, you know, this COVID-19 did. 9/11 and presidents being assassinated did not shut the country down. People, you know, didn't lose jobs. So I would say, you know, COVID-19 has been different personally.
Okay.
So that's probably affected me personally more, you know, watching, you know, everybody be shut down.
So these questions are a little bit more on the lighter note. What can you imagine your life being like in a year?
Well, I hope that we've all put our masks on balloons and let them fly away in a year. Or, you know, put them in a fire ring and burn them, or let them fly away on the balloon, one of the two. You know, like I said, as far as me with my personal job, I'm not affected because, you know, the need is there. And so hopefully the people will be able to have their families in and things will be completely different in a year from now.
Okay. And here is the very last question. We're at the end. Is knowing what you know now, what do you think individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
Well, when they see another country having You know, when it started in China, we should have all paid attention, much more attention, instead of thinking it was going to stay over there. That's what we need to do. We need, when we have the chance to avoid it, avoid it. Without going, getting all political about it, but
Hey, like I
what's
said,
wrong?
I mean, however you want to answer these questions, that's.
Right. Yeah, that would be my opinion, that we need to, take things serious when there's a, pandemic like they had over there, and we just thought it would stay over there.
Okay.
And it obviously did not.
Well, that was the last question, so we are done.
Okay, well, did I must still be recorded?